this off. Karshis Mike starts off a yimikation of sign yamil paro kolam in eowen alior. Because at the end of 2 years, Paro was dreaming and he was standing on top of the river. A very, very strange thing in and of itself. So here's a medrash. Medrash says, well, medrash rabba. It's one of the first medrashim in the parsha. It says, Ashrei gever yureyes Hashem, Asher sam Hashem yivtacho. I'm sorry. Ashrei gever asher sam Hashem yivtacho. Praiseworthy is the man that puts his bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Praiseworthy is the man that puts his bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that trusts in God. Who is that referring to? That refers to Yosef HaTzadik. The man who put his trust in God. And then it says, Velofana el Rahavim, and he doesn't turn to false idols. He doesn't go to wrong people, to the wrong people to deal with, because he went to the Saramashkim, says this Medrash, because he went to the Saramashkim, and he told that Sar, he told them, please remember me in front of Paro. He got added 2 years on to his jail sentence. So I don't understand. Did he also have a bitachon, or did he not have bitachon? It says in the beginning he had bitachon. Ashrei, Ashrei Yish, Asher Soma Hashem Yitacho. What a person! Yosef had to get Yitacho on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but then he said, no, he didn't. He didn't trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He told the Sar Mashkim, hey, if I happen to come up in front of Paro, remember me, I want to be off that. So what does he have? Does he have Yitacho or does he not have Yitacho? It's a strong question. And everybody asks this question. What's going on with this punishment of 2 years? Why is it 2 years? Why is that done over here? What are we trying to give Yosef HaTzadik? What happened over here? Here's a Maral Diskin. It's a beautiful Maral Diskin. This parsha, by the way, if you want to see a parish that goes through the parsha unbelievably well, Maral Diskin does it really, really well. He says the following. He says, there are two types of bitachon, two types of trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Two different types of trust. Number one is the following. And you only have great Rabbeim or huge fools doing it this way. It's one of the two. They have such bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu that they say, I'm not going to do a thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be fine. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do everything that I need to do. Anything that I need done, God will do it for me. I'm not going to do anything at all. I'm going to sit back, relax, and let God do it for me. And literally do nothing. Literally, tie your hands behind your back and do absolutely nothing. Rav Zusha Mianipoli was famous for all his different things. Elon would know all about Rav Zusha. Rav Zusha Mianipoli would be the type of person, he would sit there and he would say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you'll give me everything he needs. He's the type of person who would find, he needed a dollar, he'll find it in the streets. Not a big deal. He wouldn't do anything, absolutely no work. Pure bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's one level of bitachon, an extreme of bitachon. But there's another extreme of bitachon. The other extreme is bitachon in your maisim, in your deeds. You do something, and you trust that God will make sure that it's all for the best. You trust in God, and you say, I just did this, I know that it's going to be for the best. You know whose level that is? It's the level of Yishmael. Yishmael. Whatever I do, God will listen. God will listen. That's the level of Yishmael. That's the idea of what he's supposed to do. Here's the idea. Do you go out and buy a lottery ticket? And you say, I know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to let me win with this ticket.
Yeah.
Or, do you sit there? Great, great line. So that's one. Or, do you say, I'm not even going to buy a lottery ticket. If I find it in the ground, it's going to be a winning lottery ticket. Which one? So those are the two extremes of bitachon. I buy a lottery ticket and I say, I know this is a winner. I know this is a winner. I have no doubts this is a winner. Or I say, you know what? I'm not even going to buy a lottery ticket. I'm going to find a lottery ticket in the street, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give me everything I need, and if I don't find it, then God really doesn't want me to have it. God really doesn't want me to win. Those are the two extremes of bitachon. But there's a middle level. There's a middle level. There's something right in the middle. Derech HaMamutza, it's called. Right in the in between. You know what it is? Yosef HaTzadik saw clearly a sign from God that the Sar HaMashkim was going to be his emissary to get out of jail. I mean, it's very clear. The Sar HaMashkim and Sar HaOfim had dreams. They told it over to Yosef HaTzadik. He said, you are going to live, you are going to die. He saw very clearly. It's like HaKadosh Baruch Hu was like reaching down to Yosef HaTzadik. He's like, you want out of the pit? Here, I'm giving you an ability. Go to the Sar HaMashkim. So he clearly had to say something. He didn't want to remain silent. But he didn't want to put his trust entirely in the Sar HaMashkim. He didn't want to say to the Sar HaMashkim, everything's up to you. Everything's up to you. You are going to be the man, and if you don't do it for me, then I'll never get out. He didn't want to do that either. So what did he do? He said a great line. This is the Maral Diskin's word. He went up to the Sar HaMashkim and he said, listen, if I happen to come up in conversation, then I want you to mention me in front of Paro. If I don't come up, don't mention me. Don't say a thing. That's genius. That's pure bitachon. I think, whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants goes. I just want you to know that you are probably my way of getting out. You are my ticket out of this jail. I don't want you to think that it's all you. It's not all you. It's if you need it, if I need it, you're there for me. If I need it, you're there for me. But I don't want you doing it otherwise. It's exactly what the Sar Mashkim did. For 2 years, he didn't come up in conversation. There was no time that Paro said to the Sar Mashkim, hey, who translated your dreams for you? There was no time where any of these issues came up. It didn't happen. So because of that, for 2 years, Yosef HaTzadik languished in jail. It wasn't a punishment. It was for the ultimate redemption. Because 2 years later, he came up in the conversation again. I've got this dream, says Paro. I need a translator. Does anybody know any translators? Come on, somebody's got to know someone who translates dreams. Anybody ever had a dream translated for them? Who's got somebody? The Sar Mashkim realized, he's coming up in conversation. So now that he's coming up, he mentioned him in front of Paro, and he became the emissary. What happened? Had Yosef been brought out of jail 2 years earlier, Yosef never would have become king of Mitzrayim. Nothing would have happened. Nobody would have known. Yaakov Avinu and the Shvatim would have had to come down to Mitzrayim eventually, and it wouldn't have been in the good way that they were brought down with Yosef HaTzadik being the king. It would have happened in totally different ways. If Yosef HaTzadik would have gotten out 2 years earlier, it would have been worse. Worse for Klal Yisrael. Because Yosef HaTzadik did be tachon perfectly, yes, he had to be punished for 2 years in jail. Yeah, he had to be in jail for an extra 2 years, and that was a killer. Yeah, that was a killer for him. But in the end, it was all worth it. Because what happened at the very end? He became king of all Mitzrayim. Everybody was in his hands. Not a punishment. The idea of him being in jail was supposed to be something, because we all know, Me'ashpos Yorim Avyon. Me'ashpos Yorim Avyon. Sometimes the way to make somebody into a king is to bring him all the way down. All the way down. And when he gets down to that point, Yorim Avyon, you can bring him up from the garbage. Yosef HaTzadik needed 12 years of punishment. This is the Maral Diskin's word, not like the other voice of the Sein Rashi. Needed 12 years of punishment in order to become that king of Mitzrayim. Had he been brought out 2 years earlier, and he would have been excused to do so, because he would have said to the Sar Mashkim, look, you're my sign, you should get me out, he wouldn't have become king, because he wouldn't have had the punishment necessary. The same way we need to have 400 years of Golos. And if we don't have 400 years of Golos, we'll have to make up the Golos later on. With Golos Yavin, and Golos Bavel, and Golos Madai, and Golos Edom. But now it was done perfectly. Thus the Medrash makes sense. Ashrei Gever Shesama Hashem Itzako. Wow, what a person. You put your bitachon on Hashem. That's Yosef HaTzadik. Because he put his bitachon on Hashem, and just told the Sar Mashkim to remember me if needed, therefore he spent 2 more years in jail, ended up coming out and becoming king, and it was the best thing that Klal Yisrael could have ever had. Best thing that Klal Yisrael could have ever had. That's the idea behind it. Now we come to a very difficult point. The Chacham and the Chartumen. I know, guys, that this is... If you look at something after everything happens, and you say, like, see, you should have realized that. I know. Hindsight is always 20-20. Everybody always says that. Hindsight is always 20-20. But these guys are professional dream interpreters. Professional dream interpreters. They're guys who can see in the stars and see what's going on. So, I don't understand. What did they not get about this dream? Their two staples were meat and grain. That's what they ate. Now, granted, they didn't eat sheep, but this was cows and grain in the dream. Cows and grain. And where did everything come from? From the Nile River. From the Nile River, because the Nile River fed all of Mitzrayim. You have food and water in the dream. And you have these seven skinny cows and seven thin things of wheat that were destroying these huge fat wheat and huge cows. I mean, how could you, if you're a dream interpreter, how could you not get this? It's clearly referring to a famine. I mean, it's something that's just obvious. What else? It's food staples. That's what you eat. That's what you drink. I mean, it's just something that I know in hindsight or whatever it is. But these are Chartumim. These guys should have figured out. Aside from that, if they can see in the stars what's going to happen, how come they couldn't see that there was going to be a famine? Oh, why didn't they see it? And even if you say, well, the last 5 years, the famine never happened. There were 7 years of plenty, and then 2 years of famine, and the last 5 years never really. But they should have seen the 2 years of famine. They should have seen something. What happened over here? This was genius. Instead, they gave what? They said seven daughters are going to be captured. Like, what kind of stupidity is that? What were they saying? Well, what in the world do... Can you imagine going to Paro? Oh, you dreamt about seven cows? That refers to your daughters. Your daughters are the cows. Like, who would say that to Paro? It's like the stupidest thing you say to a king. This is not really... That seven daughters are going to be captured and they're going to be brought to a different land. But you're 7 cows are daughters? It's just that, what are you thinking? What was going on? Why are they missing the obvious? Here's the pshat then. Says the Maral Diskin. They looked in the stars, and they didn't see anything strange. They didn't see any svia. They didn't see any hunger. And they couldn't figure out why. They couldn't understand why. It's that this dream is clearly referring to a rov, to a hunger. But they looked at the stars and they said, there's not going to be any hunger. There's no hunger. They said, we don't know what to do with this. Everybody here has seen Back to the Future. Everybody's here, right? Back to the Future 1, 2, 3. Okay, don't say that. Don't admit to that. Don't admit to that. Everybody's seen Back to the Future. No, like, everything's so strange how, like, you can change the future. You go into the past, and all of a sudden you change the future from what it was. So other movies don't hold of that concept. They don't hold of that you studied from Back to the Future. They hold that you can never change the future. That whatever you do makes the future as the present. Oh, it's... The butterfly effect. Oh, that's very good. The butterfly effect. There are quite a few things about that, and that is Back to the Future's line. Most movies don't hold of such a concept. Most movies don't hold of that. When you go into such a thing, it's very hard for you to change the future from what it is. Here's pshat. The Chartumim looked at the stars. They saw, even though this is the pshat behind the dream, can't be pshat, we don't see it in the stars. You know what Yosef HaTzadik did? He went up to them and he said, that's pshat behind the dream. And he said, it's referring to 7 years of plenty and 7 years of hunger. And the Chartumim immediately interrupted him and said, excuse me, kind sir, we realize that Pashut interpretation, but we looked at the stars. And we know there's not going to be Svil. We know there's not going to be Rov, because we looked up at the stars. You ready for the line? Yosef Tzadik looks at Paro. He says such a strange thing in the middle of the dream. He says, Chalom Paro Echadu, and he tells him the whole thing, and in Chof Ches, he says, Hu adavor asher dibarti al Paro. That is the word that I said to Paro, asher alokim oseh aras Paro. That which God is doing, he is showing to Paro. You know why he said that line? I mean, he's in the midst of translating the dream. What do you have to interject that line for? You know why? Because the Chartumim stopped him. And they said, come on. We know that. It's not happening. We looked at the stars. It's not happening. And Yosef said, exactly. Because I'm going to stop it from happening. There won't be a Sviya. Because I'm going to make sure that everybody gets as much as they need. And I'm going to hoard all the rest. There won't be a Rav. Because I'm going to make sure that everybody has food in time for that Rav. At the end of the day, there was no Sviya. At the end of the day, there was no Rav. Everybody had everything they needed. So in the stars, it predicted what was going to happen. Said Yosef, it's because of me. Who are the Voroshim Yavar Tiyopar? Exactly. I'm going to do it. I'm the reason why it's happening. The Chartumim never realized that. They didn't realize that in a decision that they make now can affect the future and the stars and can do anything. That's what it means by Ein Mazel LeYisrael. Because our decisions can affect the stars in a way that even though you look in the future, you see something happening, our mazel can affect it in different ways. Paro saw that there was dam when they left Mitzrayim. He said he looked up at the sky and said, I see there's going to be blood for Klal Yisrael. I see that the Jews are all going to be killed when they leave Mitzrayim. I see blood in your face. All the stars are pointing to you guys being killed. Said Moshe Rabbeinu, that's not us. That's the dam mila. Because a Jew has the ability to change everything, to make everything different. Within this world, he's able to make a different world, and the stars will listen to him. The stars are going to do everything he's saying. That's the idea behind it, and that's the famous Back to the Future paradox. You're able to change everything, but you have to be able to be wise enough to be able to say it in the dream. That's why he started giving etzos. At the very end, he said to him, Vato, Yere Paro Ish Navon B'chakom, Vishel Eretz Mitzrayim. Paro, you should find somebody. Put him on top of Eretz Mitzrayim. Make this guy in charge. You should find a guy to be in charge. You know what he said? Paro looked at him and said, you're the only guy who understood this. Everybody agreed. They looked at Yosef and said, only you realize this. You're the only guy who could do it. And that was all part of the dream. It wasn't like he's giving etzos all of a sudden to the king. He wasn't asked for any etzos. No, he was. The dream was an etzos. Paro, you're getting this dream to know what to do so there won't be any issues. So there won't be any problems. Don't you get it? This is what you're being shown. The Chartumim didn't get that. The Chacham didn't get that, but they knew how to translate the dream. They knew what the pshat behind the dream was. It just didn't all fit into reality. Said Yosef, it fits into reality because I'm going to fix it. I'm going to be the one that fixed it. I did everything, and that's exactly what happened. There was no Sviya, because they were stingy. They gave all their stuff to Yosef. There was no Rav, because he gave food to everybody who needed it. At the end of the day, everybody got their food. Here we go. The Shvatim came,
And Yosef HaTzadik calls them meraglim. By far the strangest line.
Yeah, a bunch of spies.
Just calling them spies. They all look alike. You got 10 brothers going together. They all look alike. Granted, they're strong. And they're very good looking. And they're all going in different places, whatever it is. But why spies? He goes into spies. And then, at the very end, he does something so strange. He gets Binyamin to come. Because, you know, we're skipping all the way to the end of the parsha. Gets Binyamin and Tzadik to come. And he sees Binyamin's sack. And he tells Menashe, go put my cup, my famous cup, the cup that I can see the future with, go put it in his sack. Go put it in his sack. They took the gevia, they put it inside his sack, and they all left. Right? They searched the gevia. They searched for the gevia. They found it in Binyamin's sack, and all of a sudden, Binyamin's called all the way back to Yosef. Okay, here's the problem. Why would Yosef do this? Why is he causing sorrow to the Shvachim? Why cause them pain? A tzaddik doesn't give pain to a fly. A tzaddik wouldn't do something bad to any animal, to anything, especially to other tzaddikim. Why are you giving them such tzar? The Shvatim are crying. They're like, oh, hey, what did we do? What did we do? You're giving tzar to Yaakov Avinu. You're giving tzar to Binyamin at tzaddik. Why is he doing it? Forget about why. How is this mutter? How is it mutter? We got like, you want to give him a kapara? You want to give him a kapara? Who gave you rishus to give him a kapara? Who gave you rishus? What permission do you have? And lots of ink has been spilled on this matter. I mean, obviously, there are huge answers, great answers for this. Listen to this Shemi Shmuel. Listen to this Shemi Shmuel. He says a beautiful pshat. Here's the idea. Yosef knew that he had to test the Shvatim. Now, there's a problem with that. What do you want to test the Shvatim about? Would they sell Yosef HaTzadik again if it happened all over again? Now, who represented Yosef right now in the Shvatim? Binyamin HaTzadik. Binyamin HaTzadik represented Yosef. Right? He was the son of Rachel. And he was probably beloved by Yaakov. You know, in Harayah, he wouldn't even allow Binyamin HaTzadik to come. He wouldn't allow Binyamin HaTzadik to come. So it looks like he's the loved one. I'm going to put something in which Binyamin looks like he's a Rasha. It looks like he's a Ganev. Looks like he's a Ganev that he stole my cup. And I want to see, what are they going to do? Are they going to run after Binyamin? Or are they going to leave Binyamin and say, oh, what a Rasha, and let him go, and go back to Yaakov, you know, and say something different? Have they learned their lesson about me or not? Now, I hear that. You want to test them. You want to test them. Okay, I hear that. But maybe the test is not going to work. Maybe the only reason why they're going to go after Binyamin is because they swore to Yaakov Avinu that we'll take care of Binyamin. That's the reason why they're going after Binyamin. They don't want to go after Binyamin because they love him. They're going after Binyamin because they have to go after him, because Yaakov Avinu will kill them if they don't come back with Binyamin. How is this a fair test? How is this a test? Here we go. Last week we said Yosef HaTzadik was Yitzadik Yisod Olam. He was a tzaddik that helped all the shvatim become who they became. They were all gedolim and all tremendous tzaddikim because of Yosef HaTzadik. And when Yosef HaTzadik was sold, they lost something. They didn't feel it anymore. Vayered Yehuda. Yehuda went down from his position. All the shvatim went down. None of the shvatim were on the same level as they were when Yosef HaTzadik was around. Because Yosef HaTzadik was able to give himself to everybody. He was a tzaddik who was able to give himself. Everybody was improved because of him. You hung around Yosef HaTzadik, you were a tzaddik. You know what the Zohar says? When Binyamin got older, last week we said the whole metatvor, that they needed metat, they needed angels to go up to Shemayim, whatever it was. You know what happened? When Binyamin got older, Binyamin became the Yosef HaTzadik. You know what the Gemara Baba Basra says? Binyamin never sinned. Binyamin never had a chait in his life. One of four people to never have a chait in his life. He never sinned. He never did anything wrong. Nothing. Can you imagine a person like that? Who never did anything wrong? Binyamin HaTzadik became the Tzadik Yesod Olam. And the Shvatim started getting back to their normal level. You know what happened? They forgot what it was like to have Yosef HaTzadik around. And they thought, they don't need Yosef HaTzadik anymore. They're good as is. Yeah, there's only 11 of them. One of them will have a Bakor status. There will be two kids that end up being Shvatim. And there will be 10 Shvatim. And another two grandsons. And that will be the 12 Shvatim. Because everything seems fine now. The Shvatim are in an unbelievable level. What Yosef HaTzadik wanted to show them is that you need me. You need me. You need Yosef HaTzadik around. It's not as good with Binyamin as it was with me, but you don't remember that. You don't realize that because it's been 22 years I want you to be at the same level as you were 22 years ago. He looked at him and said, I want you to lose Binyamin. Let's see what happens to you when you lose Binyamin. What's going to happen to the Shvatim if they lose Binyamin? The level that they're on, they're going to immediately fall down. They're going to lose that level. They're no longer going to be on that level. They're going to fall all the way down. And they're going to remember, oh my gosh, when was the last time this happened? By Yosef at Tzaddik. They're going to realize this happened 22 years ago when Yosef left us. Oh my gosh, there must be a connection. Binyamin at Tzaddik and Yosef at Tzaddik are equal. Binyamin at Tzaddik and Yosef at Tzaddik are both equal. Either one of them are great tzaddikim. And Yosef at Tzaddik would show them and say to them, here I am. He didn't want to just appear to them and convince them that they needed him. He wanted to show them that you should know that you need me. I shouldn't have to tell you that you need me. And that was what the dreams represented. The dreams represented Yosef HaTzadik being the guy that all the sheaves of wheat bow down to. All the sun and the moon and the stars, even the constellations, even the mazel, bow down to Yosef HaTzadik. Everyone looked at Yosef and said, Yosef, you decide everything. Whatever you say goes. That's what they wanted to see. That's what he wanted them to see, because that's what the dreams were all about. So he did it. He tried to take away Binyamin HaTzadik. But you know what the problem was? Vayigash Elav Yehuda. That's where next week's parsha. But Yehuda ended up approaching and saying, I'm not going to let Binyamin go. I'm not letting Binyamin go. I'm not going to separate myself from him. He never felt that. Yosef said, I couldn't show it to the Shvatim. So at the end of the day, there was a problem. There's something wrong. That's what we have to get to next week. What happened next week? But I got to show you, I got to tell you one other thing. There was one Shevet that understood who Yosef HaTzadik was. One person who understood that Yosef HaTzadik was really a tzaddik. Anybody know who that was? Reuven. Reuven's the only one who understood. Now, what does that mean? You see a line over here. And normally, this is like one of those skipping lines. You know, you read it and you're just like, okay, what does that mean? Like, Reuven just says a line to them. Yosef remembered the dreams. He acted very angry to them. Said to them, I can't believe you're Meraglim, you're this, you're that, and the other. So, Vayomru Ish El Achiv, Pasuk Kaf Aleph, it says, Avol Hashemim Anachnu. By the way, the trup is absolutely unbelievable on this part of the Pasuk. Avol Hashemim Anachnu, Al Achinu. They finally realized, 22 years ago, we made a mistake. By the way, you know what's really unbelievable? The fact that they hadn't done a sin worthy of this punishment for 22 years. The past 22 years, they're like, what have we done to deserve this? Must be Yosef HaTzadik. It's the only thing that they could think of that they had done wrong in the past 22 years that could deserve this punishment. That's absolutely unbelievable. But Avola, Shemim Anachna, we're guilty. Alachino, Sharinu, Tsarach, Nafshav, Yitzchanan, Oeleinu. We saw how pained he was when he pleaded to us. Well, Shemanu, we didn't hear it. Alkin, Boileinu, Atzor, Azos. Notice something. They did not say we feel bad about selling him. They did not say that they were wrong about their psak din. They paskined that he deserved to die. But you know what they were wrong about? When he pleaded to them and said, please, 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 let me go, I'll be better, I'll be better, they didn't listen. They should have more rachamim. They should have had mercy on him. That's what they felt their problem was. All the shvatim said, that was our problem. Now look at what Reuben says. Vayan Reuben osam lemor. Reuben answered them saying, Halo amarti aleichem lemor. Didn't I tell you, al techetu beyeled. Don't sin with the child. You were wrong not only for not forget about the whole guilty conscience business. Forget about the fact that you think that you should have had more rachamim on him. You were wrong in your psak. You were wrong in your awaka. Al techetu beyeled, I told you. I said, don't sin in the yeled. You guys are making the wrong psak din. Reuven paskin, not like the shvatim, but he was shouted down. That answers something, by the way. What happens if the entire Beis Din says that a person is guilty? What happens? The guy is innocent. The guy is innocent. If the entire Beis Din, nobody can find a tzad schus for that guy, the guy is innocent. Says the Gemara, he's innocent. Over here, how could they don Yosef HaTzadik for Misa? Because Reuven said he was innocent. Reuven got up against everyone else, and he said, he's not Chayav Misa. Throw him in a pit, and I'll prove it to you. Throw him in the pit, throw him with snakes and scorpions, I guarantee you he's not going to be killed by a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He's not Chayav Misa. And the Shvatim didn't listen. Shvatim said, no, he's Chayav Misa, we'll give him Gullus instead. And they sent him out to Mitzrayim and they let go of him. They passed in differently and Reuven had already left. He couldn't stop them from that. Reuven went to go do tshuva or to do whatever it was. Reuven had already left and he couldn't stand there and keep arguing with them. But Reuven said, I told you, you have two things that you did wrong. You didn't have rachamim and you sinned in passing incorrectly. And I was right. Reuven says, I'm right. I'm the one who was correct in that. Says Rav Shor. unbelievable question. How was Reuven Zocha to be correct? How is he Zocha? I mean, the Shvatim are great people. They're unbelievable tzaddikim. And they paskined wrong. How did they paskin wrong? But Reuven was correct. What did Reuven do that he deserved to come out with the right, the correct Pesach Din Yishnu, by the way? To come out, to be a Dayan, takes a lot of Siyata Dishmaya. I remember when I was in Eretz Yisrael, and I was thinking, when I was deciding where I was going to go after I got married, what I wanted to concentrate on, what did I want to be? I remember thinking about going into Dayanus. There was a program, it was 13 years to become a Dayan in Eretz Yisrael. It's a kolel. They pay you a nice stipend. It's for the rabbanut. And it's a great kolel. Unbelievable kolel. It's the top guys. And they end up becoming dayanim. But you have to be in 13 years. And you can only get in after 26. There's like a certain... it's just an unbelievable kolel. And a very, very top... All the dayanim and the rabbanut and in the Eidach HaRedes, they have something to do with this dayanim. They've all been through basically the same. I was thinking, like, maybe I should do it. Then I read, do you know what a dayan needs? Do you know what happens if a dayan is wrong? You have to dive into a Kaddish Baruch Hu that you don't make an incorrect psak. You make an incorrect psak, and I know a Kaddish Baruch Hu is with every dayan. And that's what they say, and that even if the psak din that the dayan makes is, that even if he's wrong, a Kaddish Baruch Hu wanted him to be wrong about that. But it's your responsibility to do everything you can to be right. You have to do everything. It's not just stam, you could be a dayan. To get a psak din correct takes a ton of siyata d'shmaya. You have to daven, you have to learn, and you have to do everything you need to do in order to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let me come out with the right psak. Let me say the right thing. There's an al chait that I know not everybody reads from the Chidah. An Yom Kippur, in cases that I paskined incorrectly. It's an al chait. You might be chayv kares for it. For paskining incorrectly. It's not stam that you can make a psak din. You can't just stam paskin for people. You have to know what you're doing. So what led Reuven? What was the siyata d'shmaya that Reuven had that no one else had? This is a great call. There's a medrash, and everybody knows this medrash. Reuven saw in the dreams. Remember, Reuven had sinned. What did he do? That wasn't a sin. Dobo Yitzuyav. He moved around the beds of his father, right? He never knew if he was part of the Shvatim or not. He was doing tshuva every day because he said to himself, I don't know if I'm part of the Shvatim. He might have been kicked out. Now, we know he's part of the Shvatim because, again, hindsight is 20/20. And we know right after the Maisa with Bila, the Chumash says, and by you, Bnei Yaakov Shnei Masor. The children of Yaakov were 12. Reuven is the Bechor. And it mentions Reuven. But Reuven didn't know that. Reuven thought he was kicked out of the family. Reuven had no idea if he was part of the family or not. So what changed his mind? Yaakov Avinu had a dream. And in the dream, how many sheaves of wheat bowed down to him?
Yosef
had a dream, I'm sorry. Yosef and the Beth Tzadik had a dream. How many sheaves of wheat bowed down to Yosef? It's Yosef's sheaf. 11. That means Reuven's counted. That means Reuven's in. How many stars were there? 11. That means Reuven's in. When he heard those dreams, says the Medrash, Reuven said, I have to save Yosef Atzadik. Says Rav Shor. What, he's going to paskin incorrectly because he added you in the dream? No, it's not pshat. Reuven had a karas atov. He said, thank you, Yosef Atzadik, for showing me that I'm going to be part of the Shvatim. And he said, you know what I learned from this dream? Number one, if you Shvatim think that this dream is bogus, if you think that this dream is not true, then I'm messed over because I'm still not part of the Shvatim. So Reuven davened that Yosef HaTzadik would be saved. Because Reuven knew that his life depended on Yosef's life. If this dream comes true, he's part of the Shvatim. If the dream doesn't come true, he has no idea. So he looked to them, he had a karas atov to Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik is the emissary from God that shows Reuven that he's part of the Shvatim. And he said to Yosef HaTzadik, thank you very much. And through a karas atov, he was Zocha to come out with the right psak. He's able to look at Yosef HaTzadik in a different light. He's able to look at Yosef and say, you're an emissary from God. A shliach from God cannot be a Rasha. Shliach from God has to be a Tzadik. And he looked at Yosef HaTzadik and said, Al techa tuva yelet. Don't sin. He must be a Tzadik. This guy is not wrong. This kid knows what he's doing. Don't allow this to happen. It was genius. Reuven was Zocha to what he was Zocha to because of Akaras Atov.
Then the
brothers
were Chayav Yisra and should have killed them because they were told that I was innocent.
A Rodef?
Yeah.
He stopped it in a different way. A Rodef is only allowed to kill. You're only allowed to kill a Rodef if you can't stop him in any other way. Reuven did it. He said to them, throw him into the pit. Throw him into the pit. And they listened. Because Reuven had the power to use the Bechor. He still had the Bechor. And they all treated him with respect. And they threw him in the pit. When he left, that's when Yehuda took over. And Yehuda said, go sell him down. And when he came back, remember as we said last week, Reuven had no idea what happened. And nobody was allowed to tell him because everybody had sworn, don't tell anybody what happened. He had no idea. He came back to the pit. He looked for Yosef. He said, guys, what happened? What did you do? And now it's too late. You can't kill a Rodev now. But he didn't know if they killed him. He didn't know if they put him in a different pit. He had no idea. And that's why I said, Ananibo, where am I going to go? Said Reuven. How am I going to know if I'm part of the Shvatim? I have no idea. I don't know what I'm going to do. I have no idea if the dream's going to come true or not. And he had no idea what happened to Yosef Tzadik. He had no idea what to do. He says, Rav Shor, do you realize what a Karas HaTov can do to a person? Being Makir Tov and saying thank you to somebody? What that can do for you? Saying thank you to somebody can help you paskin correctly. It gives you siyata d'shmaya to look at a person and think good things about him. Yeah, that person's a Rasha, he's Rasha. But is there something that he does that's good? A person who isn't Makir Tov looks at everybody and thinks, Rasha, 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 Rasha. A guy who's Makir Tov who looks at somebody and says, thank you so much. Thank you for coming in today. Thank you for saving me a little bit of meat. Somebody who does that, somebody who does that to another person will be able to look at that person and think, that guy is a tzaddik. That guy is an absolute tzaddik, the same way that Reuven saw it in Yosef. And that's the lesson. That's what Reuven was telling him. I could tell. I was Makir Tov. I'll talk to him. V'lo shemat, I mean, he didn't listen. The gam damo, he named it. He thought he was dead. And his blood is now being put upon your heads right now. Not because you needed rachamim. It's because you were a bunch of fools and you killed them when you shouldn't have. You shouldn't have killed them. You shouldn't have killed them. Because that's what Reuven thought. Reuven thought he was completely dead. That's the power of a Karas HaTov. Because the Pnimi is from the Chitonis. Is there any better time to say that than on Hanukkah? It's the Chag of Hodah. The Chag of thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all the Nisim that He's done for us. The Chag in which we say the Tefillah, the extra little Yalav Yavo, so to speak. We say it in Modim. We say it in Modim. On all the great things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done for us. It's Dafka now that Hanukkah falls out. Miketz is always Shabbos Hanukkah. It may also be shaped by Asia, but Miketz is always, always Shabbos Hanukkah. You have to thank people for what they've done for you. Thank people for it. To go up to a person and say, thank you so much. To anybody. I don't care if it's a bus driver or a cafeteria worker or a guy you meet in the street who happens to say, oh, your bag's open or your lights are off or this or that or the other. Say thank you. Stop thinking about yourself and think about the other person. And say thank you. And you know what's going to happen then? All of a sudden, you'll be Zocha to see the greatest things in other people. You'll be able to be a person who's like Elio Anavi and be Mevaser Tov. You could bring about Mashiach. You could bring about the Mashiach just by saying thank you. Just by bringing about Hanukkah. I could give a couple more words in this. Finding the MS, the Oragun is in Hanukkah, and going into all that. But you get the basic idea. We don't have to go any further. Shkoyach, guys. Thank you for coming. And we'll see you all next week, normal time. Have a good Shabbos.